Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to another episode of The Real with Sage Single Mom. I'm your host, Charles C. Winters, and I have a guest with me today, Roxanne Robinson. Today's show is all about getting back on track. Sometimes we lose our focus on our calling as women. We get off track because things are just not moving forward as quickly as we'd like. Today, Roxanne and I are going to talk about 7 ways that you can get your life back on track. Roxanne, thank you so much for joining us this week.
Oh, you are quite welcome. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure and an honor.
Absolutely. So, I know getting back on track or staying focused and keeping up with, what the plan is for my life. I know those things are struggles for me. I feel like I get on track and then I kind of fall off that wagon and then I get back on track and I fall off that wagon. And I'm sure I can't be the only one. It seems
right.
Like you have, you've kind of hit the nail on the head and found some ways that, you know, myself, our other hosts, our listeners, maybe some ways that we can fine tune the way that we're living our life and kind of maybe figure out what our purpose is. What our plan is for our life and how to stay on track. So why don't you talk to me about that?
Yes. One of my favorite pet peeves is when we talk about purpose. And to me, purpose is this amazing alarm clock that says the first thing, we have like 7 different principles that we need to focus on to get back on track. And the first one is to be laser focused in your thinking. You need to have a mindset that says, okay, it's Monday morning, and do I have a plan that's going to get me from Monday to Sunday? Am I going to stay on track with that plan, with my to-do list and, you know, and emergencies that come up and all those other things? When you have laser-focused thinking, it allows you to have the flexibility to say to those who might be in your life, not your children, but say people that are time snatchers, I'm not available from Monday, 11 a.m. to 2 o'clock. You set the boundaries on how you think about how you're going to get back on track. What are the things that you are trying to accomplish in your life so that your life is not full of chaos? So it's very important to be laser focused in your thinking. If your mind is cluttered with negativity and your problems and all those other things that we know that we have to deal with no matter what, you'll never get to that place of peace, complacency, joy, all those, you know, fluffy, wonderful words that we desire to have, especially around this time of year, you know, being Christmas and all that other stuff. So laser-focused thinking is extremely important to get back on track.
Absolutely. I actually have heard that a lot, but in the professional world, you know, laser-focused thinking, you know, in your professional world, like I think it's easy for me to think, oh, I have to have laser-focused thinking at work. I have goals to meet. You know, I have to, you know, I have promotions that I'm, you know, trying to achieve and, you know, leadership, you know, roles that I really would like to fill. And I have to have this laser-focused thinking at work. And I wonder if so many of us, we don't think about our personal life that way. You know, we aren't thinking about our family life that way. It's easy to think, oh, I have to be that way at work, but I don't have to be that way at home. And, well, maybe we should.
Right. You're right.
All right. Well, what's the next one?
The next thing that, every woman needs to focus on is getting rid of the distractions. So it's intertwined with that laser-focused thinking. For instance, I'm sitting in my house looking out the window and doing this call, right, or in my office. And if I were to look at the lady walking the dog and then I decide to, you know, go outside and pet the dog and all the other stuff, all those plans that I had in my laser-focused thinking are now going to be just, you know, it's going to be null and void because now I've gotten distracted on what I was supposed to be doing. I had to turn off the notifications, hello, in my messenger on Facebook so that my phone wouldn't be dinging the whole time that we're on this call. That's a distraction. When
right.
you think about what a distraction is, even in your thought process, when we go back to the laser-focused thinking, if you're sitting and you're going, okay, I don't know how I'm going to pay that light bill, that's a distraction. Don't worry
right.
about that. Stay in alignment with the task and the things that God has called you to do. Everything that I do, even when I'm coaching single moms, women in ministry, whoever they are, young girls, millennials, whatever, I stay focused on the main thing that I'm trying to accomplish. I'm trying to get them from plan A to plan B to get them to walk into their purpose. But if I allow distractions, and I'll give you another example, coming out of church yesterday, and I hope that this blesses somebody. I was supposed to be meeting with my mentors at church to give them their Christmas gifts, and all the moms were looking for me, but I had to stop and pray for someone. That wasn't a distraction. That was an assignment. If
right.
I had focused on that and would have worried about, oh, the single moms are over here waiting on me and, you know, whatever, that would have been a distraction, but I had to stay focused on what I was doing. Once I completed that assignment that God gave me, I was able to move on to the next thing that he wanted me to do, and that was to meet with my mentors and their mothers to give them their gifts, and now I'm laser focused because I didn't allow the distractions to get to me.
Absolutely. That's pretty powerful.
That makes sense?
Yes, ma'am.
I could talk about that one all day long. I believe that there's a topic that I need to write about and to encourage other women. And just a word, distractions. Distractions are not allowed in my space. And I've learned the art of tuning out the people that are on the left of me. Not that I'm ignoring them. I'll kind of give them a gesture like, I see you, but right now I need to focus on this thing right here. And that's why I will not answer my phone when I'm on a call. I will not, you know, put somebody on hold to talk to somebody else because it's rude. It is a distraction from the very thing that God is telling you to do. And people actually feel slighted when you're on the phone with them. Then you're going, you know, hold on a minute. Now I get it. If you're a single mom and you got kids, you got little kids and they're in school and whatever, and the school's calling, you're going to answer that call and you're going to explain to the person, excuse me, I'm going to have to call you back. Don't put people on hold because then you're distracting them from what the real focus is supposed to be. And that's a long, long process that women have to learn to get rid of the mindset that it's okay that we let somebody know, I have to call you back. You don't have to explain it, and they'll
right.
appreciate that more because if you keep putting them on hold, then they're going to feel slighted, and you're distracted from the other thing that you need to be concentrating on. It's a vicious cycle, but it has to be conquered. It must.
You got to make sure that you stay focused and remember to call them back.
Right, that too. So that's why I said it's a vicious process, but it works when you master it.
Definitely, There are definitely some days that if I tell you, I'm going to have to call you back, there's about a 50-50 chance I'm going to remember to do so. So, yeah, I definitely agree with that. I read something recently that said distractions are not of the Lord.
Thank you.
Those are not sent from him because they are distracting you from what it is that he did send you here to do. So
right.
I also think that there's this culture, especially in the United States, that is kind of hounded into us to make us feel like it's a contest to see who can be the best multitasker.
Right.
And not everybody's cut out for that. Not everybody's designed for that. Not everybody's wired to be a really good multitasker. And some people are really, really good at it, and some people end up just failing at all of it. So I do think that sometimes the hold on and let me put you on hold and the let me do this and let
right.
me do that is there are too many people that they really think that it is like it's a sign of failure if they can't do everything at once or if they
right.
can't do everything at all. And you don't have to do everything. You just need to do the important things.
Exactly. Yep. You're absolutely right. Yeah. And to expound on that, there's another word that comes to mind, and I think it's called tenacity. Tenacity
mm-hmm.
Is a word that we need to have in our vocabulary on a regular basis. If you're not tenacious about your assignment, if you're not tenacious about your calling, if you're not tenacious about your purpose, you will find yourself like bees are in the hive and they come out and they make the honey. All of a sudden the bees are swarming all around it. Well, that's how our lives become. They become chaotic because we have not mastered the art of being tenacious. There's just like so many things that are surrounded and intertwined into getting back on track and here the tagline and staying on track, like you said earlier. You got to stay on track. Now, we recognize the other thing that women forget to realize is that we can have a plan. The best made plans of men, and I'm quoting a poet, I can't remember the name, are often gone astray because they get off track. But when you when you say to yourself, okay, I had a little thing that I had to conquer today and got me a little bit off track, but I'm getting back on track immediately with my tenacity that says, even though I might not be a multitasker, I know that I have something that I must complete and it's got to be done today. And if I don't get to it, then it ends up being the priority for the next day.
I think that some people get a little crippled by their plan, though. They think,
yeah,
I have this plan, and this is my plan, and I'm going to follow this plan. And then something happens, and it screws up that plan, and they fall off that track, and then they just never get back on because they think, well, I can never accomplish that plan, so now there is no purpose for my life. And it's my dad has always said to me, because Lord knows my life has not gone according to my plan. He always says, you plan and God laughs because it's not your plan. You know, it's not your plan you're supposed to be living. It's his plan you're supposed to be living. And so sometimes I do think that there are certain bumps in the road and there are certain things that happen because I think someone's trying to get you off of your plan and onto their plan. You know, our plan isn't the right plan. sometimes I think we're stubborn and we have this, we want to be a control freak and we want to design everything our way and our way isn't the way. So I think that there's a little bit, I think most people probably need to do a little bit more soul searching and making sure that this plan that they're creating for themselves, that it is. Is the right plan. Does
right.
that make sense?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I say I've learned that lesson the hard way a couple of times myself.
Amen.
All right. So are we on number four now? So we've got to stay laser focused. We've got to let go of the distractions.
Well, we're actually on number three.
Okay.
Number three. Yeah, wow. Setting boundaries, and I'll go through this one prophetically.
Ooh, that's geez. A big one.
Thank you. Setting boundaries. Now, here's the thing. People think, well, because I have a travel business, and I'm always getting women to teach them how they can make money for their ministry, but they have to be laser focused. this is an interesting assignment right here this morning, and then they have to get rid of the distractions. Now, setting the boundaries, like I said earlier, I'm not available Monday from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. because I have certain things that I have to do in that midst of time. People will still text you. People will still message you, and that's why you got to learn how to turn off those notifications so they know you're not available. You can't respond to them if the notification's off. And when you set healthy boundaries, that says it's not that I'm not listening to you. It's not that I can't help you, but right now I'm just simply not available. If you have an emergency, make sure that it's a true emergency, because my child might have had to go to the hospital and get stitches. My mother might have been rushed to the hospital, just giving examples, rushed to the hospital in the midst of you and I having to meet or whatever. I'm just giving these examples. And people have to understand that we as ministers, we as empowerment coaches and strategists and whatever our titles and our assignment is, that we still have a personal life. We still got to take time to have fun. So we got to set those healthy boundaries so that we're not slighting anyone and we're letting people know, we love you, boo. We really do. But we really need to have these boundaries so that you are aware that I have a life. I got to cater to my children, to my family, and all that other stuff, but sometimes I'm just going to need some me time. It might be in 15 minutes of me time. We don't take me time. We take we time.
Right.
And the boundaries are good, because then somebody will know of all the thousands of women that we're trying to reach, well, I know that she's not available on Mondays from 9 to 11 or 9 to 12, but I know that she's going to get back to me or whatever. And you have to learn how to, admonish those things that are going to keep you from staying in that set of boundaries. It's just setting it so that there's a standard across the board that people will understand who you are and how you operate. Because I got to the point about 6 months ago, I was overwhelmed. Everybody was calling me. Everybody needed me for something. And I said to God, well, when is there time for me? And he was like, no. Okay, let's get it straight. When is it time for me and you, for you to be in my presence, for you to hear my voice, for you to get the next instructions on your assignment? And this is even more profound. If I had not set boundaries, I would have missed the opportunity to be on this call today. But I set boundaries. I looked back at my calendar, knew that, okay, this call was coming up, and before I even got on the call, turned this off, turned that off. Didn't say, okay, I'm not going to answer my doorbell, whatever I had to do, because I needed to stay focused on what we were going to talk about. So setting those boundaries are very important.
I agree. Boundaries are a tough one, too. Especially for women. I think women really struggle with boundaries just because we feel
yes.
like we have to be there. We have to nurture everyone. We have to take care of everyone, usually everyone except for ourselves. And that sometimes we're worried if we, set a boundary, we're going to hurt someone's feelings, or we're going to damage
yes.
a relationship, or we're going to, or that person's not going to turn to us for help the next time they need it because they think we just don't want to help them, not that it was just not a good time or not a good day, or our feelings are so intertwined with our friendships and our relationships. So I think that boundaries is definitely something that we have to be constantly working on.
Absolutely.
And then I think
it's definitely ongoing.
Set them, Well, once you set them, you realize, wow, this is so much healthier. I feel so much better. I think that's something that's really important. And I know we've touched on it in this show a couple of other times as well, but it's definitely one of those things that hopefully if people, if we keep talking about it, it's going to click for some people. So thank you for adding that to the list.
Yes, you're welcome. The next one is, and it's kind of intertwined with the rest of them, of course, eliminating chaos. Oh, my God. That word chaos drives me crazy. How do you eliminate chaos to get back on track? Well, first of all, most of the time, we are the ones that create the chaos. We allow people in that are zapping our time. We've allowed people to constantly pull on us. And they're really not interested in getting better. For example, I always got examples. My friends always tell me that. A million of them. Single mom in distress. Oh, my God.
Yep.
One woman moved from one state to the next. Had no plan when she got to the next state. She got a 15-year-old and 11-year-old. She moves in with somebody, and it doesn't work out. Now she's homeless. Now she's trying to create chaos in what I do because she wants to blow up my phone and say, can you take me here, take me there, whatever. And when I didn't set the boundaries, I realized, okay, I am no longer laser focused.
Right.
I'm allowing her to be a distraction. Even though I want to help her, I never set any boundaries, and now I've got chaos.
Right.
So the key way to eliminate chaos is to be very strategic when you're speaking to someone that you need to help. You make it very clear. This is what I'm willing to do with you and for you because I have a life too. But if you divert from the plan, if you're not going to show up when you need to show up for our call, for our appointments, whatever, now you're going to create chaos in my life, and then you're going to have chaos in yours because you're not concentrating on that goal that you're trying to accomplish. I look at chaos like you go into your laundry room, and you got 5 loads of laundry to do. You didn't strategically say, okay, Monday at 3 o'clock or Monday at 10 p.m. is laundry night. And get the laundry done. But instead, we keep piling more laundry, trying to get it all done. I mean, doing laundry is exhausting. You got to put the stuff in the washer, take it out. Then you got to dry. Then you got to fold. Then you got to put the stuff away. I'm a multitasker. I can do the laundry and I can put it away and talk. But that causes chaos when there's no boundaries set alongside of it. If you're on your way to an appointment and you know that you're running late, you're stuck in traffic. That's chaos. That is something that we have no control over. But we as women can control the chaos because you've set the boundaries. And you know that you have something specific to do on a specific day in your personal life that is not going to cause you to have the chaos. Everybody that might be able to listen to this call needs to look up the word chaos and then define what your own chaos is. As a matter of fact, put it on your vision board for 2018, eliminating chaos in my life. Mm-hmm. That should actually go at the top of your vision board and the top of your priorities because if there's chaos, no boundaries are set, and you'll never be laser focused.
Right. Yeah, and chaos is just, it's contagious. it's contagious. If you if someone else has got chaos going on and you don't have those boundaries set, next thing you know, like that's your life too. And it's so easy. It is so easy to get sucked into it. You know, I had a conversation with a colleague this week actually. It was a little bit about boundaries and things like that. But, people will treat us the way we allow them to treat us.
That's right.
And, and I was talking to them about some things that they were tolerating that they shouldn't be. And I said, you know, you don't have to be ugly, but you need to put your foot down and you have to stand up for yourself. Like, you're grown. People are going to treat you the way that you let them treat you. If you let them treat you like crap once, and then you let them treat you like crap twice, that's all you're ever going to get, because you've conditioned that person to think that it's okay. And I'm very big on, nope, I don't let people treat me in a way that I don't accept. And I used to, and I just sort of one day was like, you know what, I'm not going to do this anymore. Like, this is unacceptable. I can't tolerate that. Because that was a distraction for me too, because it was something I would find myself constantly, I should have said this and I should have done this, and why did I let that person do this, and why did I let that person say that? And I don't subscribe to that anymore.
There you go.
No,
good for you.
If you cannot get in line and treat me with the at least minimum amount of decency and respect that I command, then that's fine. I don't need to deal with you. You know, we can be on a need to know basis only, probably.
There you go.
Email.
Yes.
So that is definitely something that, especially talking to young moms or people who are fresh into the single mom world, even single dads, you know, that are kind of fresh into that world and having to learn how to set boundaries they didn't have to have before, and having to deal with people that you maybe once cared about but you don't anymore, and how do you treat that person, and how do you let that person treat you? And I always harp on, you really have to control in the beginning how they treat you, because you're going to be setting the tone for the next 10, 20 years on how that person treats you. And that's a long time. I'm halfway through it. Let me tell you, it's a long time.
Yeah.
So, you know, I tell people all the time, like, you got to figure it out. Don't think, oh, they're just mad right now and the divorce is so fresh and it'll get better later. You know, she's just in her feelings or he's just in his feelings, and we can set those boundaries later. I just, you know, they'll calm down. It'll get better. No, it won't.
Nope.
In fact, it might actually get worse. So,
it usually does.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, we see it every day. So, you know, setting those boundaries. And I think that setting boundaries also helps to eliminate that chaos. Your life can't be chaotic if you just do what you're supposed to do. And don't allow that person to treat you in a way that they shouldn't. You know, shut it down, move on. You know, you stay on your side of the boundary that you set, and things are going to be a lot better. And you're going to be able to keep your focus. You're going to be able to not be so distracted. You know, I tell a lot of people that I talk to that are kind of new to that life, you know, new to single parent life. And there's a lot of people that don't believe in court orders and don't believe in that stuff. And they, you know, want to keep the courts out of it. And I'm not one of those people. I very much believe in those things, because I think that it's hard for some humans to establish and respect boundaries. So I'll take them in the form of a court order. And if I was the one struggling with knowing where the boundary was, it wouldn't be that hard. I just need to read the court order. And I know where my boundary is if I'm struggling to set it myself. You know, that for single parents, a lot of times I really, truly, you know, believe that those court orders can really help them if they would just follow them, if they would just stick to it and abide by it. It's going to help you not be so distracted. It's going to help you keep your boundaries in place and your life not be chaotic if you just follow the court order. The court order was determined to be in the best interest of your child, and I promise it's going to be in your best interest too, but only if you stick to it. If you are constantly making changes and you're constantly, oh, we're just going to use the court order when we can't get along, well, then you're just always going to be not getting along, and then it becomes like a veiled threat, you know, or a useless tool because you don't abide by it. and you're just stressed out all the time because you're trying to do it yourself, but you don't have to do it yourself because you have court order. It tells you exactly
right.
what your boundaries are. It tells you exactly what side of the line that you need to be on. And if you want to change some of those boundaries after a few years, then go change them. Go to court. Tell them what you want to do. Tell them that you want to change it. Tell them that you both agree and let it be, you know, rewritten in a new court order. Because
right.
even if you are getting along right now, even if things ain't chaotic right now, just wait a minute. It's coming.
That's right.
I tell people, they're like, oh, we get along so well. And I'm like, everybody gets along until they don't. And then it's too late. You know, then you're not getting along. And crap, now I don't have the money or I don't have the time or the holidays are coming and we're not getting along and we don't have a court order or, you know, oh, why didn't you get a court order years ago when you weren't getting along? When you were getting along, because the court order, if you're getting along, that court order is a heck of a lot cheaper because you're going to agree on it a whole lot faster. The judge is going to be a whole lot nicer since you're being amicable. You're just going to get this court order to protect you, to protect them, to protect your children. And we're going to keep that because the day is coming where we're not going to get along and we're not going to be able to think clearly and treat each other the way that we should and be able to set fair boundaries that we can each respect. You know, there's so many ways that people can organize their lives to eliminate having to worry and stress about some of these things they shouldn't. And, you know, we should only have to worry about the things that we have to worry about. There's so many things
right.
that we can go ahead and take care of it, and then you don't have to worry about it because it's in a court order. Or you don't have to worry about it because it's already been handled. It's already done. You've already made that decision. Just stick to it. That's funny. You know, I tell people, you get along until you don't. And it could be tomorrow.
Yeah.
It could be next month. It could be next year. But it's coming.
Yes.
For 99% of people, it's coming.
Yes.
I always just kind of chuckle. They're like, oh, we get along great. It's like we're still married. I'm like, okay. It's coming. And very rarely does it not. So it always kind of makes me laugh.
Amen. Okay. So, this is the one that I'm most excited about, and that's reevaluating your relationships, whether they're personal relationships, business relationships, ministry, you know, family. We family. And I've even set boundaries with some of my family members, not my children, not my siblings, but not my mother or anything like that, but you have to reevaluate the relationships that you're involved in. I have a ministry team, and I always, every year, reevaluate the relationship that I have with these women to make sure that they're staying laser focused and on track. If they're off track, to get them back on track, you know, whatever. Because again, this is an issue of integrity. It's an issue of Do I really have the time to continually focus on women who don't want to get to the next level? It
right.
could be healing. It could be their finances. There's like a plethora of things that we look at. I personally love to share my testimony, my story of being in an abusive marriage for 13 years. And at first I was mad at God and said, why did you let me marry this man? And I still love this person dearly, but the relationship that we were in as husband and wife just was not working. I know what the vows say, and I honored my vows, but we were never on the same page. And so that relationship became toxic. Yes, I said it, toxic, with a triple capitalized bold T, toxic. And when you are in relationships with people who are toxic and you can't get them to have a mindset that they need help, and you keep trying to fix them, and they don't want to be fixed because they don't even think there's anything wrong with them.
Right.
Now you're in an unhealthy relationship. If you're coaching someone and you're coaching them specifically on, say, setting their goals, and they are not doing the assignments, they're not doing the homework, now you're in a relationship with somebody you're playing tug of war with. If you have negative people around you that are intricately involved in your vision, for your vision to move forward, those relationships got to be healthy. Stop trying to pull people in to something they don't want to be a part of.
Right.
You have to learn to remove those people out of our lives if it's going to cause me pain internally. We bleed for women every day.
You cannot help someone that doesn't want to help themselves.
Exactly. You can't.
If they don't have a vested interest in fixing what's wrong, you can't help them.
Right.
You just can't. You can't make them accept the help. You can't make them see that light or make that change or do that thing better that they need to do better. They have
exactly.
to want it. They have to need it. They have to want it. They have to know that they need it or it just doesn't work.
Right. Yeah, I've realigned my coaching business to simply let women know that playtime is over. And if you really, really want help, you're going to put in the work. If you don't, if you just showing up because you paid for these classes or whatever, these sessions, I would rather you keep your money and you just go back to doing whatever it is that you're doing because you're wasting my time and you're wasting yours and you're really grieving the heart of God because you know that there's something wrong with you and you're not willing to fix it. If we cannot look at, like Michael Jackson used to say, the man in the mirror, now that we are the woman in the mirror, woe is me. If I cannot accept that I have an issue, and my issue was that I didn't know how to say no to people, and now I'm in all these relationships that are not healthy, that are zapping my time, that are making me be up late at night worrying about all these people, and when I get finished speaking in tongues over them, praying a prayer, after all that anointing has fallen on the conversation, they still come back and say, I don't know if I can do it. Well, that means they didn't have a mindset to do it in the first place. And so now we have to, how they say it, wean, separate the wheat from the tarry, and know that we are important human beings that have a divine assignment. But when your relationships are all messed up, women, be honest about what's going on in your marriage. You need to focus on that before you focus on anything else if you truly want your marriage to work. And when you come to the end of the road and you see we're two ships missing each other in the night, we haven't gotten any further in what we're supposed to be doing, then that means you got to have to make a decision. If you got a child, that's a wayward child being disobedient. We've all been there, rebellious. You need to focus on that rebellious child. Come up with a plan that's going to work for you because you know your child better than anybody else. And the single women, Lord, single women, single moms, all intertwined together, being in relationships that are never going to come to anything except just that, a relationship. They're not moving towards anything. They're afraid to ask the questions. Put your big girl panties on and ask the question, where is this relationship going? And be willing to accept the answer. If that man says, well, we just kicking it, we just hanging out, then that's all he wants to do. But if you're a woman sitting there and saying, Lord, I desire to be married, I want a husband, and I'm willing to put in the work, what it's going to take to be a godly wife and all that, then you need to make a to-do list. Not only a to-do list, but you also need to set the priorities, the boundaries, and all of that on what you will and will not tolerate, because marriage is not something to enter into lightly. Whenever I coach somebody, I say, I was married. Yep, I was. I moved too fast. Yep. And God gave me free will, and I walked down that aisle anyway. And I'm not saying that my life could have been any worse or better, but the lessons that I've learned, that we have to be in the right relationship. So most women would ask, what is an unhealthy relationship? Abusive, emotional trauma, emotional abuse, mental abuse. Anywhere where there's abuse, involved is not a healthy relationship. You need to let it go and need to move on and say thank you so much for the opportunity to be in your life, but now I got to move on. Women want to be loved. They need to be caressed. They need to be nurtured. They need to feel important. And I could go on and on and on. But at the end of the day, if you get yourself so far out there that you don't know how to find your way back, you'll never get back on track. And all the bad relationships, all the chaos, all the toxic things that you've allowed to be in your life will never change. More importantly, who are you? What kind of relationship do you have with yourself? Do you love who you are? No matter your financial status, your weight, what you look like on the outside, what's going on the inside. Get that relationship with you and God in a good place. And he will show you the people that you need to release from your life. And guess what? You're going to feel good about it. I did it last year. God told me, change your phone number. Too many people have your number. Too many people have access to you. I changed my number, and I just started letting people know I've changed my number. And if I didn't give you my number, oh, well. And guess what? That allowed me to set that boundary and to be able to have a better relationship with Roxanne and a better relationship with my master, because now I can hear his voice. Now I can clear out the clutter. Now I can get rid of the chaos. Now I can enter into the right relationships that are best for me. Be selfish about it sometimes. It's okay. Preaching to the choir.
Absolutely. I think that is definitely something important. I'm going to have you go ahead and move on to the next topic. And I've got to mute my phone because they've decided to start testing our fire alarms. All of this like chaos that I did not know about in the back of our call. So I think that was great. That was a great point. So I want to move on to the next bullet point. Okay.
Yes. The art of listening. You need to focus in on learning how to listen to the voice of God and listen to that inner voice. We all have an inner voice that says yes and no. When we don't have that inner voice, we find ourselves in a place in which we have a question mark behind what we're called to do. We have a question mark behind, okay, how do I move on to the next level? But when you take the time to really listen to what God is saying to you, you will go to the next level. God is not a God of chaos. He's not a God of confusion. He's a God of order. He's a God that says that you can do exceedingly and abundantly of everything that you ever asked or hoped. But when we are not listening to the voice of God, that inner voice that tells us when to move forward, when to hold, when to step back, when to look to the left or to the right, but more importantly, when to stay focused, moving right ahead on the assignment, on the calling, that's when you begin to prosper in your finances, in your relationships, in your ministry, in your business. and so on and so forth. God is such an awesome God that he shows us these things on a regular basis. But we refuse to listen to that voice that says, stop. We refuse to listen to the voice that says, okay, now go. Because he's going to say it in an audible voice. He's not going to shout at us. He's not going to coerce us. He just simply says, if you allow me to lead and follow what he says do, you can do it. That's point number six. And the last point, know beyond a shadow of a doubt your purpose. Because your purpose is tied to your calling.
Absolutely.
They're two in the same. They're two in the same. A lot of women will say to me, I want you to coach me on my purpose. And I said, okay, what else? What do you mean? Okay, now that you know what your purpose is, are you called to it? They're like, wow, I didn't think about it that way. Because you can't break them up. You can't say one minute, well, I'm called to. There's some people that are just going to be called to mentor single women. There's some people that are going to be called to mentor single moms. But my calling is to empower all women. That is my tagline. I empower all women. I'm going to help you financially. I'm going to help you in your relationships because I've walked through all of those things. I'm not going to speak to someone that I don't have any experience in. It's not going to be learn as you go. No. You have had to study and know those things that you've been passionate about your whole life, the things that you enjoy doing. I could talk to women all day long, even if I wasn't getting paid. But at the end of the day, God knows that we have expenses, we have things that we need to take care of in our personal life. And I don't mind even sowing a seed into a woman's life, especially a single mom, because I was one for 23 years. And didn't have any help except my parents. And so once you know, when you can get a piece of paper and I say to you, what is your purpose? And you can write it out in 10 words or less, you know your purpose and your calling. What's the sense in doing a vision board if you don't know what your purpose is? My purpose is intertwined with the purpose of God. What did he do? He came into the world to give life and to let people have salvation. It wasn't a popularity contest. He wasn't worrying about who was following him. He had disciples, and he gave those disciples assignments. Some did it and some didn't, and we're always going to have that in our life. But he knew his purpose, to come and save the world and set the captives free. Ask yourself the question, do I really know my purpose? Because if you can answer that question, you will automatically walk into your calling. It gives me great pleasure in knowing that when I speak to a woman that I coached last year, 6 months ago, that she truly knows what her purpose is. And even though she might have issues, we've learned to master what she needs to do. We have a plan in place. The best laid plans of men often go astray. But when we stay laser focused, once we've gotten off track, we can get back on track. But the key, and then knock on the door, says, how am I going to stay on track? You're going to utilize all those principles that we just talked about. Laser-focused thinking. Get rid of the distractions. Setting the boundaries. Eliminating chaos. Redefining your relationships. The art of listening. And truly knowing your purpose.
Well, there you have it. I mean, I think that's definitely a how-to on how to get back on track, how to stay there, and then how to get back on track when you get off track again. Just to stick to those stick to those seven principles. I think some people, we all get off track. Every single one of us, it happens. And I think you have to get back on it. You just have to keep getting back on it and write the course of the ship. So I thank you so much for joining us today. I think our hour actually flew by pretty quickly. So it's about time for us to say goodbye. But before I do, I just want to thank Roxanne so much for joining us today and sharing, sharing a little bit about your life and about your ministry and everything that that you talk to women about, and finding their purpose and knowing their purpose and making sure that it's what they're called to do and how to stay on track and stay focused so that they can live their purpose. I really hope that all of our listeners find this useful and are able to start putting these things in practice in their own lives. I know you've given me a lot to think about. So is there anything else that you'd like to say before we say goodbye?
I'd just like to say to the women that will be listening, that are listening, to stay encouraged. If you have problems, staying on track, get an accountability partner. And somebody that you're not going to get offended if they tell you, okay, you wanted me to be your accountability partner, and now you're discouraged because they're in your face and you're telling them you're not on track. You need accountability partner. Reach out to someone that you trust and let them know that you are assigning them to your life to keep you on track. Always remember Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And what that simply means is that we cannot do anything on our own strength, that we need God to guide us along the way. I hope that you've been blessed by these seven principles to get you back on track. Thank you so much. This is Minister Roxanne Brown Robinson of Kingdom Girls International Ministries.
Well, thank you so much, Roxanne. I just want to say a thank you to all of our sponsors, our listeners, and, of course, our Sage Network family. Make sure you stay connected to Sage Network by liking, following, and hearting us on all social media. We are at Sage Mentoring. And until next week, stay safe, avoid the drama, and raise those babies. Goodbye.
Goodbye.